Yes, we promised you the living legend himself. He is on the line right now here on Thursday's edition of World Football Daily. Eurosport's one and only main man commentator for all things football, Mr. Tim Capel, joining us here on the show. Tim, how are you today, mate?
I'm very, very good.
Are you reeling slightly from what happened yesterday in the San Siro? Everybody we've spoken to was not expecting Milan to have a hope in hell in that game last night. Were you one of those people that thought Barca would just dominate this?
Well, I don't very often stray into the world of gambling, but I did actually have a bet on that game last night, but I backed a draw at 0-0, which is where I thought that was going. So were you surprised? Yes, I think everybody was surprised, weren't they? I think Milan played the perfect game. You know, they interrupted the perfect storm, which is Barcelona. I mean, and then they played their game, and they never allowed Barcelona to play theirs. And it was good to see. I have to say that it was good to see somebody finally take a game to Barcelona. And actually play their own game and ensure that Barcelona have to try and change theirs in order to actually get a degree of success out of the night, which they didn't do. I don't think I've ever seen Messi have such a quiet game as he had last night.
That's one thing that Raf and I were discussing earlier on in the show today. Raf is saying that he didn't think Barca played to the same level that they're capable of. I was saying that Milan didn't allow them to. How much of that is true, that Barca just didn't rise to the occasion, and how much did Milan just shut them down?
Well, I said to this when I was writing a report, I think that they sort of swaggered into the stadium, yeah, believing that, you know, the game that they bring was going to be capable of turning over Milan. But I think Milan actually had a game plan. And, you know, rather like we saw with Nigeria, you know, a couple weeks ago in the Nations Cup, there was zero pressure on Milan. The supporters didn't think they were going to produce. The nation's media didn't think that they were going to actually win it. All they wanted was a good performance and to go down fighting. And it just removed every piece of pressure, you know, and they played at the top of their game in every position. The one that did give you a brief heart flutter was Mexes getting booked so early on. I mean, yeah, the guy looks like a walking red card in games like that. But, you know, they defended magnificently. I mean, it was just, you know, if you can derive joy out of actually watching a team defend on the edge of their penalty area, the way that they did last night, it was fantastic to watch. I mean, it almost took you back to the good old days of Baresi and Costa Curta and Maldini. Yeah, the organisation was superb. And, you know, the way the forwards defended. I mean, Shaarawy, okay, I mean, he missed his touch on a couple of occasions in front of goal, but his overall contribution was absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, it really was.
Would you describe it as being that Italian Catenaccio style, or was there something more about this Milan side? Because they did have the better of the chance.
Everybody chucks that one out and just says, oh, it's Catenaccio. No, they went out with a game plan. They had no pressure on them, and they actually played above what people thought that they would play, and they got what they deserved. Which was a victory. You just wish, actually, that maybe they'd made they'd done more of what they did in the first 20 minutes of the second half, in the first 45 minutes. You know, there was a degree of fear at the outset, you know, when Barcelona came at them. But the other thing that was amazing was the number of free kicks that weren't given away on the edge of the penalty area. Messi had very few runs where he actually managed to get right up to the edge of the penalty area. And as they tried to get players in on the flanks behind the fullbacks, you know, they were locked out on virtually every occasion. And it's one of those games, actually, I think, when you sit down and you watch it when it's going out live. If you actually take the time to sit down and watch again, you then begin to see subtle little nuances about their play that you can appreciate even more that you didn't actually see the first time round.
It was a fantastic night for Milan. Barca, how do they regroup from this? Do they actually have to go back to a drawing board and find a plan B now for the game in the Camp Nou?
No, they just go and do what they want. you know, they just do what they do. You know, I mean, I was looking at the statistical analysis, and that 2-0 victory apparently gives Milan an 81.4% chance of progressing to the next round against 18.6 for Barcelona based on previous results. So, I mean, it is in, you know, Milan's hands. And, you know, as Barcelona press, you know, then Milan on the counter-attack. I mean, Sharawi's got to sharpen up. I mean, over there, if they can get one goal, you know, then fantastic, then that's it done. And it makes everything just have that feeling that he's not quite as predictable as all that, you know? He's Barcelona. I mean, you listen to every pundit, you read every page, it's Barcelona. Barcelona are the strongest team. Barcelona are going to win. Yeah, when Messi doesn't play and Messi doesn't influence Barcelona, you know, the overall view of their game last year wasn't great, was it? You know, because he wasn't playing at the top of his game or he wasn't being allowed to. So when you can nullify him, then you do have a chance. And there was that great story, of course, yesterday about Berlusconi, where Allegri had popped, you know, goes into to talk to Berlusconi about tactical analysis, and they discuss who's being picked and what they're going to play. And it was widely reported, wasn't it, that Berlusconi said, "All you've got to do is man mark him." It's as easy as that. Just man mark him, you've won the game.
Hey, he'll run the country, he'll run the club, and he'll shine the boots at the end of the game, Berlusconi. I think he's a very great character to have in Italian football, even if it's not in Italian politics, that's for sure. There was we've had now the first round of this knockout stage of the first legs. Who's on the top of your pedestal? Going back as well to the previous week of Juventus and PSG getting the wins, etc. Who's on the top of the Champions League pedestal right now in terms of the side that's impressed you the most?
Bayern Munich, isn't it? Obviously. Yeah, for the way in which they literally dissected Arsenal in the first 45 minutes. That was as good a 45-minute performance as you've seen for many a year. In a away performance in London, where they traditionally have never done particularly well, you know, they were fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And, you know, the difference this year is that they have one, Martinez, who has been, you know, a significant key to the way that they've played this season. You know, with Martinez and Schweinsteiger in those two positions just in front of the, you know, slightly remodeled back four from last year, with Lahm, who still does look better to me playing on the right than he does on the left. You know, Alaba has come on particularly strong. You know, Van Buyten is having some real Indian summer, isn't he? I mean, he's just looking like a giant, you know. I mean, remember that they haven't conceded a Bundesliga goal yet. 519 Bundesliga minutes without conceding a goal, and it was Torben Marx who last scored on December the 14th against them. But, you know, that defence is being protected by Schweinsteiger and Martinez. That's why they've looked even more impregnable than they did before, although Neuer had a bit of a calamitous moment. And then they have competition in key positions up front. Robin is no longer a first choice. Which may not please him, but he is no longer a first choice. Müller is the most productive player in Bundesliga in terms of assists and goals, and is now looking like the player that he was on when he first came onto the scene on the eve of the World Cup. Kroos is playing just sublimely, I think. You know, I think he's actually matured, I would say, by at least another 50% on his performances last year, and he's now performing at a level which Heinkes knew he could, which basically was the level he was playing under Heinkes when he was at Leverkusen. Ribery, well, Ribery's Ribery, you know what you're going to get with him. And who thought that, you know, after the last two seasons, you would have Mario Gomez sitting behind Mandzukic, who was a fantastic buy. Harry Redknapp looked at Mandzukic for Tottenham. It was just over a year ago when Mandzukic fell out with Magath and got kicked down to the reserves. You know, and it's a great team. And like Barcelona, it's literally a squad of 20 odd players. that are playing, literally, there is a first-choice 11, like for Barcelona, and then there are those which are almost on the same level but are classified as basically reserve team players. The best team plays every week, every game. And, you know, that's why they have such a great understanding.
They are obviously a powerhouse in European football right now. And as you said, tearing apart Arsenal on Tuesday night, when you look at the sides that are potentially going through here, Juventus could do a league and Champions League double. PSG could potentially do a treble. Manchester United, Bayern Munich could also potentially do a treble. Are we looking at like the best crop of European teams to come through into this next stage of the knockout round that we've seen in a long time?
Well, actually, that's a good point. It's a good question, actually, when you think that all of those teams are at the pinnacle in their league. I mean, the other feature about it is virtually all of those leagues are dead. You know, I mean, I know the PSG lost last weekend, but you still can't see, you know, Lyon or Marseille turning over Paris Saint-Germain's lead. I mean, I know they've got that big game on Sunday. I mean, Napoli had a great chance, didn't they, last Sunday against Sampdoria. I was doing that game, actually, when they only managed to draw 0-0 after Juve had lost on the previous evening. Who would be the favourite? I mean, had Ibrahimovic not been sent off, and to be honest, actually, I'm not sure what his ban is or whether they've actually awarded the ban on that, but he has to appear, doesn't he? So this might not be a case of you get a one-match ban. He may well end up with a two- or three-match ban. If he does, with Ibrahimovic not in the team, Pastore isn't had a great season. I mean, I know he scored recently, but he's had a pretty poor season. Ibrahimovic is so key to that team. But without him, you can't. With him, you think, yeah, maybe. Without him, no chance. Yeah, no, they don't have anybody of his ability to step in. And that's where maybe PSG would just fall down on that. I think Real Madrid are going to be so buoyed up by the fact that Barcelona lost. But that's, I mean, that game is going to be an incredible game next week in Manchester. Juventus were back in the mid-1990s with... when they went on to Champions League success under Marcello Lippi. They have such a great team ethic, and they have a strong team. And everything about Juventus is team, team, team. Yeah, there's nothing individual about it. Yeah, you can look back to those teams in the 90s and remember, you know, not necessarily the standout players, but you remember players that had key influence. Yeah, players like Angelo Di Livio. Mm. You know, I mean, it wasn't always about the Del Pieros and the Ravanellis and Vialli in the earlier eras. You know, you had people like Di Livio and Torricelli as well was another one who was just this sort of, I mean, this bludgeoning fullback as he was rampaging forward. And I think Juve have got a bit of that. And I don't think you can write them off at all, actually. I think they are strong contenders.
There's plenty of strong contenders in this Champions League bout. There's also plenty of strong teams still in the Europa League, Tim. We've got games tonight. Inter taking on CFR Cluj. It was a great performance in the San Siro by Inter Milan. But with the Milan derby coming up this weekend, is there going to be a wandering eye? Are they going to be 100% focused for this?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, would you? They don't view it with anything like a regal importance, do they? I mean, it's the old UEFA Cup, you know. Although, you know, I mean, we tend to forget just how successful, you know, teams from Serie A were in the UEFA Cup from 89-90, right the way throughout that decade. You know, I mean, they were tremendously successful. I mean, they're not. No team's going to go out to purposely go out, but will it be considered to be an abject failure? I doubt it. Yeah, if they lost and went out tonight, but they beat Milan in the derby, I don't think anybody would be complaining too much. You know, so no, I don't think so. I mean, Tottenham's game against Lyon was the surprise for me, actually, I have to say, last week, and I've seen Lyon a few times this season. And I couldn't see Lyon getting close to winning that game. I was really surprised about their performance, actually, how good it was. You know, and this is for a team which is going through, or a club that's going through really terrible times. You know, Olas, the chairman, when he took over there, 25, 26 years ago, when they were in the second division, and turned them into this, you know, this team that was competing, winning the championships, you know, the 7-8 titles in a row from the turn of the millennium. They've sold all the best players. You know, everybody knows they're for sale. You know, I was doing a game with them the other week down in Ajaccio in Corsica, and they brought on a player, and we just couldn't find any details about this guy whatsoever. He was just 17. You know, so they're having to plumb really deep, you know, into their youth system to hope to bring players forward, bring players in. They're going to lose Gomis at the end of the season. They're certainly going to lose Lisandro at the end of the season. And yet they still went out and they still played like they did against Tottenham. And I think that deserved huge credit. I don't think they deserved to lose that game. And that goal by Umtiti was just staggering, fantastic goal, and another product of their youth system. Wenger's said it a few times actually recently, that the quality of the French players that, you know, he used to be able to go from pick up isn't there. I think there might well be a generation coming through down there now which suddenly might, you know, hoist them back up the international rankings. Certainly, you got clubs like, you know, Lyon in particular, that are having to actually work with youth players and are giving them loads of experience. You know, Lacazette was another one, you know, that we saw playing for the French youth teams, what, 4 or 5 years ago. And he's now looking like a really mature, good player. And they've got a bit of experience in there as well. So I think Tottenham have got a big job on there tonight.
I was going to ask you, Tim, with considering how they played down at White Hart Lane and the thumping win on the weekend against Bordeaux, is it actually with that away goal, that stunning goal from Umtiti, is it advantage Lyon tonight?
Yeah, I think it is, very much. Yeah, and this is a team, and this is a country that will take this this competition seriously. But then so too will Vyas Boas, you know, because he knows it was, you know, with that lit the touch paper of his career, you know, that got him recognised. And to win it again, or to go on and win it again, if they could well do that, is certainly not going to harm him. And especially after that debacle of the FA Cup against Leeds United. I mean, you know, Tottenham, yeah, they haven't got fourth place, you know, secure in there yet. There's still a lot to do before they can actually consider themselves, you know, regular Champions League contenders. And indeed this season, there's a lot of football still to be played.
Tim,
I don't think Tottenham can relax on that. And I think they need to take it seriously, you know. And the fans will remember, because Tottenham had great nights in the UEFA Cup in the past. You know, I mean, I know it was a long time ago, 1984, when Ardiles was still playing, came on as a substitute, and in that match against Anderlecht, who had Enzo Schifo playing for them, and they won. And I mean, you know, it was fantastic atmosphere, and Tottenham have always done well in the UEFA Cup, and, you know, they will want to go out and win that. But it's a big pitch down there, which will actually suit Tottenham's game. They'll get a lot of room for the wing. Bale will have a lot of space to run into. Lennon, if he's playing, is going to have a lot of space to run into. But with them, it's all going to be about, I haven't seen the team lineup for tonight, who's playing up front. And, you know, Adebayor owes. He owes them a performance this season. You know, he needs to get out and make himself count. You know, so maybe you can do that tonight.
Just a very last one, Tim. I know we've taken up plenty of your time, but there's this one I really want to get through to you, because you are, you know, you're a man of more football knowledge than many of us can fit into our brains. You've probably got in your little finger right now, Tim. So, with Didier Drogba and this potential inquiry into his eligibility for last night, what happens for Galatasaray if it turns out that they've fielded an ineligible player, is it them out of the Champions League and Schalke take a walk through?
No. What they could award a victory to Schalke. They won't kick them out of the competition, but I don't believe that Galatasaray are that naive that they would have gone through the whole process of getting him and playing him if they knew there was a chance that he wasn't eligible. I would be really, really surprised. I have to say, actually, I was so tempted to watch that game. You know that game was going to provide you with so much more in the way of entertainment than Milan and Barcelona, partly due to the way that, you know, you knew Milan had to play, and it's turned out to be that as well, actually. Schalke still dangerous, you know, and a great team to have in the latter stages, as indeed with Galatasaray, because the two of them, I saw the highlights afterwards, they just went at it. You know, I mean, there were like 15, 16 attempts on goal in the first half. Yeah, I mean, Schalke were playing like they do, which is get the ball up to Farfan. Farfan, who provided a fantastic assist for that goal from Jones, the opening goal, the only goal for them, bang on half time. But great team to watch when it's going well. But then, you know, they're having such a disastrous time of it. They're talking about who's going to replace him, Keller, as the next coach. They were talking about Stefan Effenberg and Martin Jol. Somebody even suggested Jupp Heynckes might fancy having another go, but I don't think so. after he had a bit of a nightmare there last time.
I can't imagine Heynckes going from potentially a treble season with Bayern to Schalke.
He will go. He will go to put his feet up, and he will be... Yeah, he could leave Guardiola a big nightmare there, couldn't he? Let's be honest. He could leave him with a team that has had a record season in Bundesliga in terms of the 21 goals conceded is the Bayern Munich record. I think they will easily pass that. So Neuer will be usurping Oliver Kahn's team of about 6-7 years ago. They could end up with record points, record everything. Yeah, and even a potential treble. And, you know, you sit there and you think, my God, I don't care who you are, but Guardiola walking into that, if they've done a potential treble, if I was him, I'd probably be sitting there thinking, I'm having second thoughts now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Tim, I'm seeing Arsenal making that phone call to Heynckes saying, help us out here. Once Wenger goes at the end of this season, that's the bold prediction for the managerial lottery of the summer. It's an absolute pleasure, Tim, to have you on the show once again. We always enjoy getting you on. We've taken up far too much of your time, but I can tell you from both myself and Rafa, it's an absolute delight to hear you talk football with us, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on the show as soon as we can.